When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Once again, we've been chatting for 85 minutes before we press record.
Oops.
Ah, well. And did it again. Great week for Brittany. Was delighted.
Yes. What happened?
No. Well, do you know what's funny? I was going to say, the funny thing is that it didn't get a lot of media coverage. So maybe I'm overestimating it. But she did. She's obviously, you know, the way she's currently now going through the process in relation to the conservatorship, yeah, of kind of, I suppose, it's not necessarily getting her out of it, but looking to rejig it. So yeah. The father objected to this whole, like, obviously she started proceedings or whatever because she doesn't want the dad. That's kind of common knowledge that, you know, when she said yes to the conservatorship, that she said yes, she'd do it, but she didn't want the dad, yeah, to be the conservator. So essentially, he tried to block these proceedings. Now, it's only very early days, but the court actually ruled in Brittany's favor. So it was, you know, so it's obviously very early on and it's, you know, early days. But, yeah, you know, that was a good thing.
Yeah, no, she wasn't trying to get rid of it or anything. She just wanted, like, an outside. Yeah. Professional, didn't she?
Although I did say, what happened yesterday? I was being a bit of a bossy boots and Fred turned around, mm-hmm, and said, okay, Mr. Spears. And I was like, that really hurts.
Mr. Spears.
So that's the latest insult being hurled in Tir Brandon, County Kerry, that I'm Mr. Spears, that I'm a conservator. That's going to be the new jibe now. People are going to accuse you of being a bit of a conservator.
Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably, you know, between that and, I don't know if I mentioned this, but across the socials, I've had this account called @RealGemmaO'Doherty liking my stuff, especially on TikTok. And just like a lot of laughing faces, love this girl, this is gas, all this kind of stuff. And it has made me question, am I a fascist, Emma?
I didn't think so. But is she?
I think, it's the only logical explanation.
Is she a fan of yours?
I'm telling you, I am courting right-wing fandom. The right-wingers love me.
I wouldn't have predicted it, but it makes total sense at the same time.
Yeah, that's where my personality is at.
I preferred her when she was doing the documentary about
Mary Boyle,
the girl. Yeah, I preferred her then. I thought her stuff was better then.
Well, I mean, none of us know really what, no more than J.K. Rowling, like what has happened to these people along the way. Sure, look, I got our old friend Katie Boyle because I like to have a tenuous link with the guests. So I thought Katie Boyle and Mary Boyle. So I had Katie on. Oh, it's, do you know what? It is a fascinating but tragic story, but it is a really, really interesting story, actually, that whole Mary Boyle thing. And you know, she's related to the O'Donnells, as in Daniel O'Donnell.
Yes, I knew that because Gemma did a documentary on it a few years ago, and it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I knew a little bit about it, and then I watched that. The documentary was really good. It was really interesting.
It was a great documentary.
I don't know what happened to her then. She started hanging around with Sinead O'Connor's ex. I don't know. It all started kicking off then. I think that's what happened. Yeah.
John. It just
lost interest in her then.
It's, do you know what? Yeah, and we shouldn't even give her the airtime, to be fair. But it's just, it is a mystery. Like, what the hell went on? But no, so I am questioning on my right wing. Then Fred's calling me Mr. Spears. So it's all getting a bit fishy. In case I forget, our book club, we got a lovely response to the book club. I got a good few DMs from people. Oh, yeah. We're doing our book club. It's going to be, obviously, says you, Patreon only. And it's going to be happening on the 13th of March at 8 p.m. And we will be discussing After the Silence by Louise O'Neill, which is kind of the novel that I suppose, would you call it a novel? I'm very bad at the terms. What did you say? Repeat.
I said, do you think Louise would pop in to say hello?
Well, do you know, I love Louise. This is so funny.
She could send a message, couldn't she?
She absolutely could. But it's funny because I had forgotten that Louise was on Patreon. So I was doing the poll and After the Silence was an absolute landslide. Really cringing for myself because, you know, you forget that people, you know, like, are on the Patreon. Obviously, like, yes, we love all our patrons equally. But I had written, so it's like, oh, you know, we're doing After the Silence, written by one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, because I really love Louise. Like, she's just, as well as being an amazing writer, she's
really thirsty. One of your favorite people in the whole world.
I know, like, as in, I do have a family.
Your parents, your brother, me. And Louise is in the mix there as well.
One
of my favorite writers and a really sound person would have covered it.
I did. I have this running joke whereby if I like someone, I refer to them as a national treasure. So I said, told Maren O'Connell this because I kept calling her a national treasure. And she was like, she said something on the lines of, is that going a bit far?
Don't take any of your love seriously, because anytime you say the thing nice to me, I know you're saying it to like thousands of people.
So it's a copy and paste. Every day when I WhatsApp you saying, Emma, there's one thing I want you to remember today. I want you to look in the mirror and say, I am a national treasure. I am forwarding on to at least 800 people and eight other people at any given time.
And then when I say something nice to you, you think I'm having a nervous breakdown. So we just have to find somewhere in the middle. You're like, oh my God, Emma got on to me. She said something really nice. I hope she's okay.
I think she's dying. Well, generally, if I get a nice text, I do think Ella is after taking your phone. And it's just, it's all a big prank.
That bitch, Hollywood's after calling her. Why can she be this happy? Stupid bitch.
Usually when you compliment me, it's you.
Isn't that the fear when a comedian's being really nice to you? Like, they've got something big in their works.
Well,
the fucking bad.
I was just about to say, usually
saying goodbye to all the little people before they head off.
Well, usually when you're nice to me, well, no, you're always nice to me, but usually when you're paying me a compliment, it's softening the blow. It's softening the blow before you announce that you are now co-presenting a show with Claire Byrne on RT Radio 1. So you'll say, oh,
I can't believe you thought you saw that fucking billboard where I'm like fucking, as they call it in the business, moving prop. Happy to do it. We'll do it any day of the week. Please email me emmadoran84@gmail.com. But you were so off on one that you thought I was fucking on the show.
I was feeling particularly psychotic that week.
So 20,000 followers doesn't get you that, Julie.
Well, I think in my defense, that was the week I was heavily pregnant and it was very hot.
Yeah.
They had me out. Do you remember they had me out pounding the pavements 4 times a day? Like, I just, do you remember I had to do the walk 4 times a day? I've never been thinner.
Look at his stone.
I'm
bad.
I went out to get something from Fred's car one day and it was just full of Freddo wrappers and I was really distressed because he'd been eating chocolate on the sly and it just, you know, it was, that was the week then that there were two panel shows being recorded. Not one, but two panel show pilots. And I wasn't called for either recording, but that's fine. Like, you know, obviously you can laugh that one off. But then when the comedians start dropping like flies and I found that I wasn't even on the subs bench, that's when I went full on psychosis.
You must have felt better though when I was bumped for Luke O'Neill. That must have made you feel better.
As my dad calls him, my old friend Luke O'Neill, because I did 1 6 o'clock show with him once.
I totally forgot about you, you poor thing, doing all them walks. I was just thinking, like, how many times was I on the phone to you? And you were like, hey, I'm just going up this hill. You carry on there. And I'd be like, I wasn't saying anything. Not much going on.
No, so usually, that's my fear when somebody's being nice to me. They're going to say something like, listen, they wanted a female presenter for this new Saturday night show, and it's me. It's me, it's Laura, it's Joanne, it's Alison, it's Eleanor. But, you know, we're thinking you can do maybe a vox pop. Now, that's not confirmed, but like down the line.
Like after, it wouldn't happen now at the moment because of COVID, but maybe after COVID.
Yeah, I'd do a vox pop from 2 meters away. Wouldn't that be a bit of a challenge?
Yeah, sorry, hi. You can get to be in shot. It's just like a ton, you can just see a bit of curl. We're like, there you are.
I wouldn't be able to pull off. You know who was queen of the vox pop was Jennifer Maguire. Do you remember? She was great. She'd be like, come here, you old Egypt. That's hard to pull off when you're standing 2.5 meters away with a mask because it's very muffled.
We'd get you to do things like that are just really crass and just not funny, but are just there for shock value. So we get you out. We get you out with a dildo or something and asking people to guess how big they think that is.
Yeah. Do you like aubergines? Do you like moussaka? Do you like some poor old woman? Hi, like moussaka?
You've Ted in the buggy because you can't sort out childcare or whatever. We're just like, oh, just it's happening this afternoon. Like that.
Ted, Ted's got a sandwich board. Ted's out with the sandwich board and then doing things like, you know, I've got 3 glasses of lemonade and then somebody drinks all 3 and I say, oh, one of them was piss. And, you know, that would be me. And then back to the studio, it's you, Joanne, it's Alison, it's Eleanor. It's a lot of soft lighting.
Yes. Fucking hell, yeah.
A lot of pre-records.
People to eat sandwiches, like, you know, with exactly that, with, like, pubes in it and toenails and real, like, kind of early 90s ladette stuff. But it's, like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Grafton Street. Do you know what I mean? It's just, like...
Yeah, and I...
You know, we put you on Henry Street.
I was going to say...
around the ILAC with all the Elwins.
I do think the moussaka gel could probably work better on Henry Street, as would the Sambos. I feel Grafton Street outside Marks and Spencer's, that's the place you want to have the 3 glasses of red wine. They have to rate the red wines. And then at the end you say, ha! They were all the same wine. Back to the studio.
No, that's the Today Show. That's the Today Show.
Oh, do you know, we watch the Today Show every single day here.
I can't believe that.
Do you know what? I know all the segments off by heart. We have gone full on Country Mouse. There is no Judge Judy in this house. Those days are over.
God, I haven't watched Judge Judy in a long time. Basically, I don't know what's going on the TV or whatever because I'm working, but the only show that I know when it comes on and I'm like, because it's obviously triggers something inside me, it is, I can't even remember. Oh, Tipping Point. When Tipping Point comes on, I kind of know that I'm heading towards the end of the working day. And God bless Ben Shepherd. I don't know how he keeps banging on about a fucking slot machine from Corktown. This amazing machine.
Impressive.
I don't know how he's got the stamina for it. But he keeps doing it and he's smiling away. Like he's
great.
Away. And every time it's like, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, thinking of getting a holiday or it's a car or, you know, going to do a few bits around the house. Like, just for fucking once, I want somebody to come on and say, I'm getting a boob job or I'm getting, you know, my gi remade or, do you know what I mean?
Just a bit of honesty.
Yeah, just something.
Do you remember, I know we did say this before, but do you remember when the lady was on Deal or No Deal and she said that she was getting the money for IVF and George Michael paid for it, do you remember? RIP. Who doesn't? I was just listening to a bit of Outside today.
Were you? Oh!
Let's go outside.
I haven't listened to that ages. I used to listen to that every day. And yes, I feel
everywhere.
That's a real song. I'm hanging out with the kids all day. And I'm going demented. Because that's what I used to listen to that song. It's to remind yourself that you are a separate being from your child.
Oh, geez, I came home today. And I found Fred and Ted in the sitting room listening to When You Try Your Best and You Don't Succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. I said, Jesus, I've only been gone an hour.
Nothing wrong with Coldplay, but I don't think we need them at the moment, do we?
No, but look.
I've got to see them. Like, I like them, but not at the moment.
Look, Chris Martin is a genius and their songs are unreal. I would love to see them live. I mean, Chris Martin is phenomenal. But nobody needs them on a springtime afternoon in a pandemic.
No. I saw them before, actually, in Marley Park. It was a very nice gesture. My cousin Yvonne and my cousin Ruth, who was over from Australia, got me a ticket for my birthday. I went with them. I think I was in third year in college and whatever. But I was actually out for a walk this evening and I bumped into my cousin Yvonne. She lives in Temple Oak. And I couldn't tell you the last time I saw her. But so we had a great chat. We had the giggle and all that. But even what I was thinking was, it was the first time in I don't know when that I actually, like, remember we were talking about earlier, like spontaneity, that I bumped into somebody and had a chat.
Yeah.
And had a laugh and then like, oh, I better let you go, whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I really actually missed that. Because, you know, like we're saying, like when you're doing comedy, be in town and you bump into people and like you just be chatting, you know, because you all know each other, you all be chatting away to each other, whatever. And I was like, this is what I missed. Just like simple spontaneities of life. But I was glad I bumped into her. I can't remember. She obviously haven't seen her in a year anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't it crazy? Yeah. It is lovely bumping into people. I'm going to mention them again because they do need to support this podcast. I'm writing up the email this week and I'm sending it straight to the top. Garvey's in Dingle is a great spot to bump into people.
I thought they were on board already. What the
I haven't sent the problem? Email. But they're getting it tonight. No schedule send first thing in the morning. No. They're getting it real time. They're getting it at 11 p.m. I do hang out a lot there because it is lovely to just bump into people. And as you say, it kind of feels a bit more normal. It's lovely meeting people for the walks, but sometimes it just feels too curated.
Yes.
Which takes from it a bit. But it's still lovely to meet people for the walks.
Oh, yeah. No, it's still lovely to meet people for the walks. But it's just that thing of like just bumping into somebody. Oh, there's yourself. How's it going?
I know. It's not. And I'm finding, and I know, I'm sure we must have talked about this before. But the fact
there's
that.
There's no way of knowing.
No way of knowing.
The episodes get deleted after a week, don't they?
They're done. They're gone. Yeah. I feel.
Thank God.
I know. Imagine if all those comments were just there waiting to be transcribed in an online article. Ugh.
Terrible.
It is hard to recognize people. So there's a lot of that at the moment, isn't there? There's a lot of people like, oh, hey. And you've no idea who that person is because the masks are they're hindering. They're hindering us big time. Like there's been a lot of awkward. So how are you? Grant, how are the smallies? How's himself? Like I have no information. If I'm asking you, how are the smallies? It's because I have no idea what your kids are called.
Yeah. No idea.
Oh, in case I forget, because we got sidetracked. But I did say, anyway, that we're doing after the silence. And Louise got in touch to say that okay. She was honoured and thrilled to be the choice of book club for the month. But I did kind of cringe for myself because I just forgot she was on Patreon and I was totally fangirling. Delighted we picked After the Silence, by the way. It's going to be happening on 13th of March, 8 p.m. Patreon only, obviously. I might just mention as well a few new patrons I have, Emma. Will I do that in case we forget?
Yeah.
Did I mention Donovan last week?
You did, because I remember we were about like great name.
Like the singer. Okay, grand. So we've got Fia, we have Jennifer, we've got Anne Marie, we've got Weirin, we have Gareth, we have Casey, we have Greg. I'm liking all the men that we have on board.
Yes, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the patrons for coming on board. It really means a lot. I still can't figure out what is wrong with the other people.
But I have to...
There is more of them.
There is more of them, yeah. Like, the numbers are steady, but, you know, we're at the same time... We were genuinely thrilled. If you missed last week's episode, we were so thrilled with the Patreon for the previous month. We're very chuffed.
We covered that.
But there's
that,
always okay? room for growth.
Let's just get down to it here now, okay? Facts and figures. I feel like I'm the L1 in the shop with my little table of samples, giving out the free cheese, giving out the free sausages. And these people who are listening keep coming up and they keep saying, oh, that tastes lovely. That's really, really nice. And they keep taking the money off voucher. And before they get to the till, they just throw it away. That's what I feel. I feel like the non-patrons they're teasers.
Do you know what? Yeah? You are the absolute queen, the queen of analogies. You're spot on. That's exactly what it is.
The only way I communicate now. So yeah, if you can, please do get on board. Thanks very much.
Quick,
are you going to tell us Mel's story?
Well, yes, I am going to tell you a quick story as well. Just to say that we were doing the listener of the week for about 1 week, but I think we should keep this going. And I did send out a little something to Danielle, who was our previous listener of the week. But this week, I thought it might be a bit of crack to give listener of the week to Megan, who got in touch, and I thought this was an interesting fact. Do you remember we were talking about Rob Kearney? As my dad would say, your old friend Rob Kearney.
Yeah.
Who I did the rugby show with that time. And do you remember I said that you would imagine him, I was saying I was quite fond of his girlfriend because, you know, she's just like, she seems like a very nice person and multifaceted and, you know, was doing the pharmacy and all that kind of crack. So I do enjoy following her. And we were saying, God, you'd imagine someone like him would be going out with a bit of a Chardonnay from footballers' wives.
Okay.
And Megan got in touch to say, I cannot believe we missed this. She got in touch to say that Rob Kearney actually used to go out with the girl who played Chardonnay in Footballers' Wives.
Oh, no way.
Isn't that funny?
She seemed like a nice girl.
Of course. We're not, by the way, that wasn't a, you know, we're not saying, oh, it probably, you know, even rehashing it, it probably sounds a bit negative, but that's not what we were saying at all. And even the photos, she looks lovely. They look like a lovely couple.
I remember she seemed nice.
So, Megan, you're getting listener of the week. I'm going to find, because the shops are closed at the moment, what I'm doing is actually, I'm going to do a little bit of a re-gifting, because you know the way you get sent the bits and bobs and all that kind of crack. I'm going to do a bit of a re-gifting because the up to 90 merch is currently, it's a bit of an out of office situation with the up to 90 merch. So I'll send you a little something, Megan, because I just thought, I really did enjoy that fact check. Thank you so much, Megan.
Fact check.
We like those fact checks. Not back in the day when we'd be doing topics and people would be getting in touch saying, yeah, just, you know, Winona Ryder was never in Mean Girls. It's like, fuck you. That's not what this is.
That has nothing got to do with an episode about Winona Ryder. Thanks.
So I'm going to start with a little story. You wish out a story, Emma?
Yes, Julia, I like this story very much.
I think somebody actually told me to stop doing that voice that they thought it was the creepiest fucking thing ever. And I said, like, oh, do it more.
Please, Julia, tell me a story. Can I help you, Julia? I'm so cold.
Is it the face or the voice that's disturbing?
Oh, your face could never be disturbing, even it's when you're peeling.
I know. Julie, it's off the fucking charts now. So before Julie tells the story, I started retinol. Last week, it's like aggressive retinol. It's hardcore. Your face goes red, you peel, everything. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a whirl because I have heard amazing things. And even like a couple of days after starting, I was like, oh my God, I can already see the improvement. I can see what is going to happen. But the peelio is something else. And you know what, Julie? Like, now there's never a good time to start it. There's not. But I have to film at least two, like, you know, work video things this week. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how I'm going to cover the face. So this is basically what I've come up with now. So obviously moisturize, whatever, do all that. Pseudocreme. Then foundation.
Wow.
Whack it on. This is purely just to try and neutralize the fucking face. Now, I was going to get some, like, if I'm in the gaff, I don't care, but if I have to do something worky, I'm like, Jesus, I was going to get some of that green concealer because I know back in the day,
like,
that to kind of neutralize the red, but I don't think, like, my pharmacy's going to have that. They might, I might check.
You have it, but you don't have a Boots in the 5K.
No, we do, but I just wouldn't make it on my lunch break. Do you know what I mean? But how does it look now?
I mean, you know, I'm not just saying this. You can't tell, you look probably. Grand. You really can't tell.
If you saw me in person now, like, I would be flaking on you, but I'm just going to stick with it. Unless I have to do a proper filming thing. What I mean by proper filming is, I mean, like, with, like, proper cameras, because you can't.
Hollywood.
You can't hide that shit.
But I don't think you have any feature films coming up anytime soon, do you?
No, not this week anyway. But I'm going to stick with it. But
I think we did say the other day when we were talking about skincare, it's such a cliche, but I do think it's the one thing definitely worth investing in. And the women in my life who have amazing skin have always looked after their skin with products. And I feel like personally, I would be more inclined to spend money on my skincare than clothes. I just think it's such a better investment.
Yeah, well, see, I know I can tell that it is going to be good, but I just, that's what the other thing is, I'm like, I wonder how long this process is going to last.
Well, I think you look great. Now, I'm going to quickly bring it back to topic because we have gotten a few men on board.
Are we just talking about my skin?
Do you know what? I absolutely love chatting about your epidermis, but I just feel we've gotten the lads on board. And I'm not saying, by the way, lads are into skincare as well. But I'm just going to bring it back.
We do a Patreon episode on Emma's skin.
Actually, I'm not being funny. I am always really curious to find out what people use on their face. I'd actually love to. Let's do a video where we actually talk about, I'll come along with my creams and we'll just talk about what we use.
Yeah, I think we'll have to wait about 6 months until my skin actually, like, fucking isn't burning off my face.
But you see, the funny thing about doing a thing about what we use, the insinuation being a lot of people have gotten in touch.
I know.
And asked what us two L ones are using on our face.
Sometimes people say to me, like, the odd time if I film something and, like, I'm fucking I'm up in the attic out a fucking window when it's a glorious day and I've actually like made a huge effort. They're like, oh my God, you actually look pretty well. And that's like the only time it happens, I think.
You do, yeah. Well, I always think you look well.
Julie, come on, give me the bad news. What's going on here?
No, I've nothing in the exhaust pipeline, so there's no chance of that happening. Anyway, here's my story. So this is from 2018. Now, I tried desperately to find an update on the story. I couldn't find an update anywhere on the story. If you do have an update, get in touch. Two Satan-worshipping girls plan to kill middle school classmates and drink victims' blood.
Oh, yeah.
Florida. Have you heard of this one?
I think I might have.
So police say two middle school girls who worship Satan armed themselves with knives in a foiled plot to violently kill classmates and drink their blood at school on Tuesday. To be honest, you know what? I'm not just saying this now, but genuinely, Tuesday I feel is worse than Monday. There's something about a Tuesday.
Yeah. Tell you what, I don't like Tuesdays.
Like, if you're gonna commit a crime, it's gonna be on a Tuesday, isn't it? Because it's just, you're not at that hump. You know, the weekend just feels so far away. I think Monday, you're just kind of, you're still half asleep. But yes. Tuesday, you're awake and you're seeing how crap things really are. Like, Tuesday's a tough day.
Nobody ever says, oh my God, I can't believe it's only Monday. But everyone says, oh my God, I can't believe it's only Tuesday.
Very true. I mean, if you're saying, I can't believe it's Monday.
Jesus, today's Tuesday, isn't it?
Today's Tuesday, yeah. I mean,
it's like a Wednesday.
I do think, you know, if you're saying, I can't believe it's Monday, you've got bigger issues there. That's, you know, something's going on.
Oh, yeah. She hasn't even turned on the computer. What are you talking about? Oh, can't believe
you should be. I mean, you should be able to differentiate between a Sunday and a Monday. And if you can't, you need to have a chat with yourself. So the 6th and 7th grade girls attend Bartow Middle School, police say. At 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, the Bartow Police School resource officer assigned to the school was summoned to the principal's office. The investigation revealed that the students had armed themselves with knives and planned on attacking fellow students during the school day. Fortunately, they were intercepted by school staff hiding in a bathroom during class time prior to carrying out their plans, Bartow Police said in a press release. Now, this is my issue, because if you're going to go on the Mitch, leave the school, go big or go home. Like, the last Irish class now that I had for junior cert, and I had them for the 3 years, they absolutely broke my heart. They completely broke my heart, but I did have that. I did definitely have that grow for them, even though they did break my heart repeatedly over the 3 years. But the last interaction I had with them, half the class went on the Mitch to another classroom. I was like, guys, you need to leave the school building if you're going on the hop. That's rule number one. So these girls didn't get the memo. They're in the loo. They're on the Mitch. I mean, come on, like, they hadn't really planned this through. According to Bartow Police Department, a student warned a teacher on Monday about one of the girls mentioning that something bad was going to happen. The superintendent said extra officers were at the school on Tuesday as a result of this warning. Now, straight away I'm asking, why are police officers at a school? I know this is America, but, like, isn't it mental, Emma? The fact that there's always a police presence there. And then this girl says, do you know what? Something bad's going to happen. And they're like, you know what we should do here? We should just bring in more police officers. That's what needs to happen. Isn't it crazy? Imagine police being in your school.
Yeah, well, it's even the whole thing of, like, do you know when you're watching a crime documentary about something or whatever, and there's this, you know, like, there's a serial killer going around or whatever, how, like, then they just, you know, do the vox pops out in the street, and the, you know, conclusion from everyone seems to be they're going out to buy guns.
Yeah, and I think it's always the thing as well, isn't it, after the fact, you know, after one of these awful shootings, people always say, I didn't see this coming. Nobody ever says, I didn't see this coming. He was such an extrovert. I didn't see this coming. He played sports. He was the captain of the football team. Like, straight away, straight away, I'm saying these girls, they needed more extracurricular. It wouldn't surprise me if they were readers. I say this as a reader, but invariably as a reader, look, the people who commit these awful crimes in schools, who go on these sprees, invariably they're always a feckin' reader. Like, it, you know, they're there with the he was a nice guy, very quiet, always had a Harry Potter under his arm.
Is that a euphemism for something?
No, but it could be. When I'm out doing my Vox Pop, it will be. Ted on his sandwich board. So anyway, the girl's mother, one of the girl's mothers, got this text saying that her child wasn't in the second period. She called the school to say that the child wasn't in class. So then the staff went on the hunt. They found the two girls in the bathroom. The girls were holding a goblet, which an administrator suspected was being used to drink alcohol. Now, these are nice goblets. So you know someone of the mothers is like, oh, I can't believe she took my good goblet.
Yeah.
Once at the principal's office, the girls were told to empty their pockets, which revealed a knife and a knife sharpener, because God forbid your knife should go blunt during your killing spree. After that, their bags were searched and several weapons, including a pizza cutter and a butcher knife, were found on the girls, like a pizza cutter.
Oh, so we know who was the accomplice who was dragged into the situation. I've got the knife and the knife sharpener. I got a pizza cutter and a fucking peeler. Is that okay?
Do you know what I laugh? You know, I was laughing because I found this story and I was like, I need more information. What happened to these girls? And on one of the websites, one of the police pictures, so they have like a butcher knife and they've obviously laid out the contents of the bag, a butcher knife and a biro. I was like, well, okay, the biro's going a bit far. Are we really saying this is an illicit item? Because I don't want to be devil's advocate here. Pardon the pun, because they are claiming to be Satanists. But like, you would expect a biro to be on their person. Like, I wouldn't be putting that into evidence.
Do you remember when Expose used to be on the telly, right?
R.I.P.
And it used to be, no, it's RSVP. So anyway, Expose used to be on the telly, and this was obviously after 9/11 and all the rules about flying and whatever had changed. And someone was doing a segment on handy bits for your hand luggage. And in her hand luggage as a handy bit, she had a fucking manicure set.
Wow.
I remember my dad screaming at the telly, going, "You can't fucking bring that in your hand." All the shit she had was all stuff that would be fucking like, you know.
So she was there with her aerosol, her penknife, her body.
Her big thing of body lotion, keep you moisturized on the flight. Just like, what the fuck? That's why that show finished. Don't let that happen when you get your segment. You hear me now? Let that be a lesson to you.
Thank you for making me feel like my segment on your new panel show is a big deal. It is important, Julie. We got a tweet about it a few weeks ago. Can I see the tweet? It wasn't a nice tweet, Alison, but it was a tweet.
Laura.
Oh, Laura. And you know what I love about Laura is that I was because anytime I rang people over the summer, I was walking because that's what I was expected to do. Yeah. I was pounding the pavements. And I was like, I'm feeling sad because I haven't got a call about this panel show. And I was like, sure, look, I didn't get the call either. And then I didn't hear from Laura for 48 hours. And in that time, she went off and got the call and did the panel show. And she was too scared to tell me. But I found out.
And you were okay with it.
I saw you on the telly.
You were completely okay with it.
But you know me, I'm a cheerleader. I am, though. Come on. Okay, so they noted that the girls said they wanted to kill, hopefully, 15 to 25 people, which is ambitious, isn't it, Emma, with a pizza cutter?
Jesus Christ.
And they were waiting in the bathroom.
They had corn on the cob holders as well.
Oh, yeah, they'd one of those. Yeah. So they were waiting at the bathroom to find smaller kids that they could overpower to be their victims. The police chief said that over the weekend, the two girls plotted and planned to kill fellow students at the middle school. The investigation also revealed messages between the two detailing the plans of their attack. The last message sent said, Today is health lessons. Thanks, Satan, we're doing this in a bit, according to a rest report. Now, I don't know what health lessons is. I imagine it's probably a bit of an SPHE kind of thing. So I can see why that would drive you to attempt and massacre. Like, we all had that class that you're like, oh my God, kill me now. But at the same time, there's just better ways to go about this. When asked about motivation, the girls reportedly told police that they were Satan worshippers. According to police, the girls planned to drink their victims' blood out of the goblet they were found with. They also discussed eating their victims' flesh and leaving body parts at the school entrance. Killing all of these students was in the hopes that it would make them worse sinners, ensuring that, this was their plan, that they would end up going to hell so that they could be with Satan. Both juveniles were arrested and removed from the campus, their names not being released, obviously, because they were minors. And they say that the parents, the girls, had no knowledge of their satanic ideals. It was believed that the girls had spent the weekend watching scary movies, and this had contributed in terms of motivation for the attack. Yeah. And as a result, extra law enforcement officers were on campus just to maintain, quote, a sense of calm. Because that's definitely what an increased police presence does. It makes you feel calmer, doesn't it?
Everyone chill out. There's loads of police here now. So don't worry about it. You know when they kind of say things like, you know, everyone back away. Look, there's nothing to see. There's nothing to see. You're like, there clearly fucking is something to see. If you're saying that to me, there's something really good to see.
That's very true. So that's my story. Bit of a mad one. Look.
That's very triggering for me because when I was in primary school, a girl who I went to school with tried to poison me with a weed killer.
Wow. What happened there?
So this was a girl who I went to school with. I was friendly with her. I went to her house one time. And she's kind of in one of these families where you had to eat over the sink.
Busy household.
Yeah, or like her mom would, like she, you know, it's kind of classic mom thing, but she'd say, oh, like fucking stayed at the place. And the place was immaculate. Like I've never seen a house so clean. And she was a bit kind of weird and wacky, but like, you know, that I'm totally into that. And she was going to start selling perfume in school. And so say she had peach perfume, right? So she put them in a little bottle and put the label on herself. How she was making the peach perfume, and I know this because I was there, where she'd take a bite of the peach and spit it into the bottle. And that was like my first inkling of, like, I think I was relatively new in the school. And I was just like, oh, this one is like completely fucking mad. So she brought in the perfumes to sell to people in school. And like, of course, I just like, she's fucking spitting, like, she's chewing up food and she's regurgitating it back into the bottle. So no, obviously nobody was buying the perfume anyway, because everyone probably was a bit suspect anyway. Or like there'd be one soldier who would buy one, say, oh, thanks a million, just like fucking in the bin. Like, no. Nobody was stabbing their neck and their wrists. And oh, that's really good perfume. So anyway, I'm in school one day and I go to, now it mustn't have been my bottle. I don't know whether she switched a bottle or something like that. And I went to drink out of this bottle. And another girl, I'm pretty sure it was Sarah Harmon. Sarah, I don't know if you listen to this, but if you do, please get in touch and let me know. And Sarah came over and was like, no, like trying to like stop me from drinking as well. I just had it up, like getting ready to drink. And I was like, what? And she was like, what would we call the girl? Keyboard. Keyboard put weed killer in that. She was trying to poison you. I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? But when I think about it now, like nothing was done. We all just went about our business. We were just like, oh my God, like she's so mad egg, isn't she?
Conversation with Keyboard.
Result. I can't really remember. And like, it's not like a Keyboard now, just to paint the picture, like she wasn't the person that was like, physically intimidating, or like, you know, you wouldn't have been scared of her or anything. She would have been like a very, she wouldn't have been like a physical bully or anything, like nothing like that at all.
Yeah, but they're then, the ones you have to watch out for, because they're using the smarts.
Yeah. So I think I just kind of left it go because, yeah, she was just a bit fucking nuts. But then I noticed, like, so she was all fucking mouthpiece in primary school and giving it loads about anything. But then once we got into secondary school, so I still went into secondary school with her. When I think of it now, like, and I just fucking like, oh, yeah, no, she tried to poison me. I'm like, it's grand, forget about it. But then when we got into secondary school, she was real quiet. She was real, like, under the radar type. Because she was dealing with different people then, do you know, that kind of way.
But you know what? Even the sound of it, like, I just think this, if we learn nothing else from this story, it's like, do not force your child to eat over the sink, because she will try to kill people.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, in fairness to her. And it was like, not that I'm 100% against it, but like, there was no way you could walk into that gaff with your shoes on.
But that's what I mean. It sounds like in her defense.
Even the granny, if the granny came in a Zimmer Fame, you'd be like, she's a.
Yeah. And she's like, but they're laced. Well,
yeah.
You made your
granny
choice.
Granny keels out and they have to call an ambulance, the paramedics.
But you know what? It does, like, and I mean, somebody would probably get in touch and say, I used to eat over the sink and I turned out grand. But I do think I'm getting a whack of other shit going on in that gaff if you're making someone eat,
like,
over the
you
sink.
Were like, don't get me wrong now. As far as I know, like, it wasn't like... it wasn't like spaghetti bolognese over the sink, because, I mean, that's just not... It's not practical. But if you were having a snack, No, it wasn't all meals.
If you were eating a peach, maybe that's where this all came from. Over the sink. And keyboard was like, wait, okay, it does feel like my life. It does feel like my life is excessively punitive. But maybe.
I think it was at the time when...
Maybe I can make a business out of it.
They were trying to do that, like, you know, this bullshit about, like, young entrepreneurs or whatever. And there was a couple of girls in the class who started selling chocolates. And now we all bought them. We all fucking bought them. And we lapped it up. But basically, all they were... Not basically, it's fucking what they were doing. It was cooking chocolate poured into molds. So it was like, it was just pure fucking cooking chocolate. And obviously they were getting the cheapest of the fucking cheap. Cooking chocolate, and we were all buying these fucking chocolates going, oh my god, tastes amazing. And it was just,
I think this is the problem with young entrepreneurs, because I feel, as a former secondary teacher, you're always kind of roped in. Of course you want to support them, don't get me wrong, but you're always roped into buying stuff. And, like, realistically, you know, not forced, but just, you know yourself, like, your fourth years would rock
forced with a pizza cutter fucking to the neck.
They have their pizza cutter. They're like, listen, do you want to buy a personalized Christmas decoration? So this is maybe the last week of August, and you say, yeah, look, I'll just go for something simple. I'll just get maybe mom. Can I get one for my auntie? They're like, yeah, no problems. They're scribbling down the orders on their hand. And then you hand over your cash, and maybe the third week in February, they produce the Christmas decoration, and you're like, there's no quality control here. And then they say, you know, then you have to kind of, everyone's playing along and, you know, talking about the Goshka Awards and how important they are. Look, realistically, if Facebook are hiring, Mark Zuckerberg isn't going to say, hang on a minute, this guy did Goshka.
I know, but it's like every so often when these things come up, I'd always be sitting there trying to think of an idea, because obviously I like money, and the only thing I could ever come up with was like, oh, where's Crispy Buns? Like, it's not a great business model. But one girl came up with, she made candles, right? But one of the teachers had a gift shop, so she started selling the candles in the gift shop. And there was like, everyone was going, oh my God, like she's making a fucking mint off them those candles. And then like the story would be like, oh my God, like she's after, like she made like £300 them fucking candles. Oh my God. Like we're all trying to think of, oh geez, what could our fucking business plan be? What fucking could we get in on? And then like after a few years, you look back at it and you kind of find, you find out, yeah, but like the girl made like 10,000 candles and she nearly had a nervous breakdown. Like it was child labor and the teacher was getting cheap products for his gift shop.
That's like the young scientists.
Would probably those kids, those kids
are always like, I mean, okay now. Any child who was forced into young scientist, like kiss Christmas goodbye. Did Ella ever do the young scientist? She was too, like, it's always, you know, it's always the kids who are kind of a bit on edge anyway. And somebody says, you know what you should do? You know, your Christmas break, that 2 week period. Well, let me you should actually.
Develop an app.
Have you heard of paper mache? So what you could do is you could do a volcano, develop an app. How are you when it comes to computer programming? You can learn it. There's YouTubes. Give yourself 3 weeks. Yeah. 2 of those weeks, you won't have access to a teacher. No, we can't give you their number. They're going to meet you at the RDS.
Yeah.
You're going to be representing the school. And you know what's very exciting? RT News are going to be there. So, you know, your family, your friends, they can all, see how your app works.
I see, that'd be it. I'd be the person who, I want to, like, you know, take the old handy number and make a skirt out of recycled materials.
Oh, there's always like, one.
We have to deal with that
my business model. Slippers hats with diamante.
To detect like the fucking signs of stroke before you do. And you're like there with your fucking skirt made out of fucking plastic bottles, and it's a total bullshit because you've had to go around buying all these plastic bottles to fucking make the thing.
Yeah,
so you're perpetuating the whole thing. You're going out getting plastic that you didn't have already to make this.
And like some of the apps are questionable as well. Like, you know, people come into you and they're like, so we did a study and we found out, or you know, a lot of these ones, like we did a study and we found out that people who smoke can't run fast. And everyone are like, wow, like this is amazing. It's very rare that I learn something new from the young scientist heads.
But sure, it's even when you look at these ads on TV and it's like 86% of people said that this is the best fucking thing they ever had. And then you see the small print, you're like, the ad's fucking 25 people.
I know. The numbers don't add up.
19 of them fucking worked there. Like 19 of them, their jobs fucking depended on it. Just like, anyway, I hope Keyboard is doing well. I'm sure she is. I think people, if they're mad like that when they're a kid, they do, if they stay with the program, they do often like cheap out. Is that the expression I'm looking for? Mellow out.
I think
you try to poison me. But no grudge. It probably was pretty annoying.
I mean,
as a new girl, you know, you're going to be a bit of a,
it's all jazz hands.
Yeah, you're either gonna be like fucking Sawdust Sally who's puking in the corner, or you're gonna be fucking showbiz. So
yeah, and I think you hitched your car to the wrong horse.
Yeah,
I think that was very open
back then.
Yeah,
it was very open.
You landed in. You know, Keyboard is chewing peaches over the sink. You're like, I need this girl in my life. And then you probably quickly realized when she was trying to make a fast buck on it.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here. Well, it's see, like Homer in the hedge. You're backtracking.
You're not gonna go in with the top dog straight away. You gotta
course. Well, no, you will now if you're blonde and you tan. It's just straight to the top.
If you're working with personality and you're kind of a 6 with that at best anyway, like it's a fucking slog. But I put in the fucking graft.
You did. And you're lovely.
But that's the problem. If you're depending on personality and the personality is a 6, Like, it's a lot of fucking work.
I think I actually do feel for the people who were popular in school when we were younger. The personality wasn't there, but they were just, they were cool. They were cool cats. They had the hair. Yeah, and the other peeps are trying to reconcile themselves with the fact that they're no longer the big fish in the pond. Because the personality just doesn't.
Because I kind of think sometimes that those people who were actually cool, who were not fake cool, the people who are actually fucking cool, weren't aware that they were cool and didn't care about that stuff.
I wrote a bit about this actually on my Instagram this week, and it's the whole thing of like that ultimately, do you know, everyone, like, you know, you look back now on the cool girls in school, and sure, they were as scared as the rest of us. You know, it's not real, this whole cool thing. It's just at the time you perceive certain people to be cool. Yeah. But actually being cool, I think the people who are, I totally agree, I think the people who are cool are the people who are totally unaware of it.
Yeah, they're
oblivious. Not
concerned with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't concern me, Judy.
And this is when I say, Emma, you're cool. What does that read? Hang on, I can't read the chat. Emma, you are the coolest person I know.
On Zoom. No, you're cool. No, you are cool too. We're both cool. Yes, we are cool.
This is, I think we should write this up as a new kids show. This could be our way into, this could be our way into RTE.
Oh, we were only talking about the other day, something came on the TV and Shay was like fucking flipping out. But what is this thing, this constant thing that they do on television where they feel they've got to do something cool for the kids? And it's just like they sit around a table. Okay, we need to do something. It has to be fresh, has to be cool, has to be engaging. And it's current, and it's, what do we do? And then there's silence in the room. And then somebody pipes up because they're just like, I can't take the silence anymore. I need to say something. And they're like, could we do a rap? And everyone's like, yeah, that's really, really good. Why do they always do this on kids' TV?
The rapping, yeah. It's core. The rapping is core. No,
some
healthy
food is the way to go. You're just like, give it a fucking rest.
Yeah, and the dungarees are
out.
That
was a pretty good rap, in fairness. I might get into kids' rap. That was off the cuff completely.
No, Emma, listen. You. Why did it look like you were reading?
Give me something else. I'll rap on the spot. Give me a topic.
Okay, rap about Ted starting solids this week.
Ted starting solids, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Ted starting solids, you know what I mean. He's a big baby boy. He's really keen to eat some food. It's solid stuff.
Oh, do you know what you missed out on there? Mean. What? You could have easily made a rhyme with ween. Wouldn't that have been a nice fish?
Okay, I'll give
I'll
you
just
a
give you. Okay,
I'll
go.
Give you, no, well, I'll I, give you a rap. Okay.
This by saying, at no point have I claimed.
No, we're doing this now. We're doing this now.
So Emma's like, now you go.
This is
okay.
Podcast now. This is the new podcast.
This is the new brand.
We're rebranding again.
Oh, jeez. I can't wait for the latest one star review. It's just two old people rapping.
Okay. I want you to rap about water. Go.
I like water. Except when it's brown. That usually happens when I don't flush it down. That's good. I like water because it keeps me hydrated. I would talk to my friends, but they all have migrated.
Keep going. This is really good.
No, I mean, what else can you say about water?
I actually called you the other day, and I was like, do you know what Judy needs to do? Do you remember from the successful Live Up to 90 show where you did the Simpsons rap? I was like, she needs to add a musical element to her stand-up. I really think you should. Not that I think you should.
Because do you know what? I did write a rap before. And I used to do a bit of a rap. And then I think maybe I did 3 lines of a rap, and I remember Conor Regan telling me, and he was spot on. He was like, I really like the rap, but music can make an audience uncomfortable. And he was spot on because nobody knew what was going on. So maybe if I signposted better.
Yeah. I think if you have an instrument, even like if it's you know, even if it's like a recorder that you take out and you just like go, ooh, like one note. If it's signposted like that, I think people get on.
And I did suggest.
Just start rapping mid-sentence. Like, that is going to make people feel.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're like in the doctor's office or something. Julie, what seems to be the problem?
I've got a rash.
Well, yeah. Can you take a look for me? Do, 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 do.
Julie, we are spitting rhymes. We're spitting rhymes. God, it really is lockdown for a year, isn't it? We're spitting rhymes.
You could build on that with the key. You could say, what could you say? Down there, I've got a bit of an itch. I think I might have lost a stitch. They're gone, Julie. They're gone. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, I think I can feel a stitch. Fred's like, shut the fuck up.
It's a very traumatic experience, let's be fair.
I think the rapping could... Well, I did suggest before I wanted to do a thing and I wrote, like, again, just a silly song or something. Yeah. And I never had the balls to do it on stage because I said to Fred, I might announce it with the tin whistle. Wouldn't that be funny? And I was deva because he said that Aisling B did Maniac 2000 on a tin whistle as a part for Edinburgh show. And I was like, oh.
And if you hadn't known, you would have been none the wiser.
You'd be doing it in good faith, wouldn't you? But then when I heard that, I was like, I feel like I need to find another a bongo drum or something. I don't know. Every keyboard's gone, guitar's gone, ukulele, tin whistle. We'll come up with something. Anyway, do you have a story, Mrs.? Yeah.
No, because it's a bit late now, isn't it? Oh, I do have one.
Yeah, look, 10:10.
I mean, we'll be here all fucking night.
No, let's leave it up. No, we'll leave it up.
The raps were better.
The raps were great. And look, we'll save your story for next week.
Yeah. But listen, let's get the rap thing going. We could just be, we could have a comedy musical act, a duo. Called Up to 90.
Stop teasing me, because you say these things and then I'll put together a Google Doc and you're like, oh, Sony, that was just a joke. Like when your man asked me to the Debs and I saw him with somebody else and he's like, you know, that was, I mean, I was messing. Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm not thinking it'd be so much easier to be a musical duo than a solo stand-up.
Listen, I'm up for the musical duo. The Google Doc, it's happening.
We just need to play some instruments.
We could be the new Flo and Joan.
Yeah.
I love them, they're great.
Just do loads of songs about geese.
Like, I have often thought, imagine if you look at the Flight of the Conchords and the likes of Flo and Joan, they are unbelievable and they are feckin' hilarious. Like, both duos are just unreal. Like, such fans of them. But do you imagine how easy it would be, Emma, to rock up to the Vodafone Festival and all we have to do is do our little songs in the bag? In the bag. Okay, this Google Doc is happening. The first rap is called Water.
It's typical, though, to look at the thing that the other people are doing and just go, oh.
I could do that. All I have to do is learn how to sing and learn a musical instrument, and then I'm in.
And read music and write a song. Easy.
Yeah, easy. We'll make it happen. If only we knew a guitar player, but we can't rope Fred into another Up to 90 project.
No. Well, certainly not another one he's not going to get paid for anyway.
Standing on our own two feet going forward. Okay, Emma, I'm going to let you go, baby cakes.
Love you. God bless.
Love you, bye.
Patrons.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.